Somebody done. Hey everybody, welcome. We're probably gonna do a little bit of car casting lately because I have a busy life all of a sudden. We'll talk about it. I guess we'll talk about it like now. I did before we talk about, you know, reality. I saw this great thing, which I think we've talked about on here before, which is that I saw, you know how like every so often you get that great news story that's like, you are not going to fucking believe what teens are doing now, you know, and it's like the such and such challenge. And it's like, you know, I don't know, you like sucker punch somebody and knock them down when they're not looking. And that's like, they call it the, you know, sucker punch challenge or whatever. The sucker punch challenge is to watch the motion picture Sucker Punch. Can you do it? I know you think you can. And there was a new one called, like, I don't know what the exact name is, but I'm calling it the Tide Pod Challenge, which is they're just eating those Tide Pods, which is something I had talked about before because I had, when I got those Tide Pods, you know, they say specifically, they say, do not eat these, do not consume these, whatever. And it seemed like more adamant than it is on your typical detergent. You know, I assume you're not supposed to consume any detergent. I mean, I'm assuming it's not the pod part of the Tide Pod that makes consuming them a terrible idea. I mean, maybe. But no more than, like, let's say consuming a plastic bag. I mean, it's not like you go pump gas and on the gas pump there's a thing that says, you know, don't put this in your mouth and just start filling your mouth with gas and swallowing it and drinking it as fast as you can. And in general, I'm kind of against those sort of, I don't know. It's not like a moral stance. Oh, I'm against those warnings. I'm not against them. I just think they're kind of dumb. I remember when I was a very young man, there would be things that had a choking hazard on it, you know? And I would be like, I mean, isn't basically any object large enough to fit in your mouth, small enough to fit in your mouth, but large enough that you can't swallow it and consume it into your tum-tum? Isn't anything that falls into that category probably a choking hazard? To which I thought, like, so what are we supposed to do? Like, run around and label every fucking leaf that falls on the ground in the fall? In the autumn? Falls on the ground in autumn. I don't want to use the same word twice. Isn't every leaf that, like, falls on the ground in autumn a potential choking hazard? And should we not, like, stamp them or something? And be like, hey, caution. You know. I mean, anything is a choking hazard, right? Every piece of cutlery, every fucking everything. A sheet of paper. It's like, and a notebook doesn't generally come with something that says, do not consume. Even though you should not consume it. So, I guess it's possible that Tide is extra, you know, bad for you. Which makes me a little paranoid about, like, well, should I be putting it on my clothes and then whatever? But then also I feel like that's kind of dumb logic because there are lots of things that I would touch or put on my skin that I wouldn't eat. So apparently what's going on is like teenagers are challenging themselves to, or each other, to eat these Tide Pods. And when I saw this warning in them, I had to admit, like, there's something about, if you've never used a Tide Pod, it's a little packet thing that, it's like, imagine if you took a tiny plastic bag, like the kind they used to sell weed in because it was illegal, and now they sell it in, you know, like pill containers, which look even more illegal, like a tall, black, childproof thing. So imagine it's like in a little plastic bag just filled with Tide, but it's got like a weird soft texture to it. Like you would swear you can almost feel that it dissolves in water somehow. There's like a delicacy to it. which is why maybe I think of it in some ways as a delicacy. Or, like, I can understand why people bite them. Because I had an odd, unrequited urge to bite it. Just to experience the world that way. You know, like babies, right? Put everything in their mouths because they're babies. And that's one of their more usable senses when they're like an infant. I think they don't have... Their vision's not as good, right, when you're first born. Your fucking motor skills are crap. I mean, have you ever seen a baby try to dunk a basketball? It's shit. It is shit. And then, like, but your mouth seems to work. So, you know, kids will put stuff in their mouth. So I had this, like, very infantile urge to do that, to put this Tide Pod in my mouth, the first time I touched one. And, you know, it didn't totally go away. It didn't completely vanish, and the sort of warning about them confirmed what I thought, which is, like, I'm not the only one. There must have been something when they were testing these that made people go, huh, this is interesting. I think Tide Pods also somehow seem wasteful, but I'm pretty sure they're not, because I think that whatever they use just goes away, like it just melts. So I don't know. Maybe it is, but I kind of don't think it is. And I think the container they come in probably uses less plastic than a jug. It seems like it. Now, I could use the powder, but, you know, whenever someone tells me how to do laundry or judges my laundry skills, or whenever I feel like that present, because I don't think anyone's actually ever done that, I'm always like, you know what, motherfucker? If your laundry is in your living room, you don't tell me what to do, all right? When you gotta pay for every load, and like half the time you go up, someone's occupying it, and it's not your spouse, who you can be like, hey, fuckface, why don't you get your stuff out of the dryer? You have to leave a note that says, hey, fuckface, and you never see the result of the note. You never have an uncomfortable dinner later where you're like, you see my note, fuckface? You know, it's just to a complete... fuck-faced anonymous stranger. What did he look like? I don't know. He had one of those fuck faces. So anyway, I guess kids are doing this. Now, let's all calm down. Because this seems like something that came, you know, it's like on Yahoo or USA Today or whatever. And you're like, okay, is this another one of these, like... you're not going to believe what the kids are doing. And one of the articles, too, said millennials are doing this, which I was like, what age do we think millennials are? Because here's the truth. If you're my age, if you're in your mid-30s, people older than you will say you're a millennial, and people younger than you will say you're not. Also, I think the older you are, the further through time the generation you call millennials goes. I think to someone who's like 50, a millennial is probably, you know, been born this year. And they're like, eh, they're still a fucking millennial. What's the diff? I don't know what happened to Generation Y. Because I guess I would call myself, I've decided that I'm aspirational Generation X. Born in 1983. So I grew up in the 80s, but I was young in the 80s. You know, I listened to a lot of grunge music. I bought a compact disc at Blockbuster, of all places. So there you go. If someone's like, do you remember Blockbuster? I'm like, I bought music at a Blockbuster one time. Do I remember Blockbuster? I still remember what the candy aisle looked like. It was like the only place you could buy fucking snow caps, which you bought, and then you're like, I don't even want this. Why would I have bought this? It's got to be just the allure of something that you can't always have. Because I can see no other purpose behind buying fucking snow caps. They're not good. So, you know, one of the articles was saying, oh, millennials are doing this, which, and you know, it shows pictures of like, and you see the same like three pictures of teenagers doing it. Now, I guess this was also like a thing that went around where people were like showing it, you know, put a bunch of them in a cereal bowl and then like pour bleach in it or something like that. Like it's a meal, like it was a joke. And, you know, some of the articles too were like, this joke's not funny anymore. And then one post I saw was a lady, and it was a picture of like a baby in a hospital bed. And, you know, I guess she was saying, like, I can't believe people are doing this on purpose. My little Blaze, that's Blaze, you know, did this, and it's, like, altered his life forever. Like, he's not going to be able to do certain things because he ate a Tide Pod. Which, I would say, again, being a baby, I mean, isn't it just as likely a baby would eat, like, a fucking battery or something like that? I mean, part of parenting is you gotta put this shit where babies can't get. I mean, this was like a baby, not like a 3-year-old or something who went up in the cabinet and got a Tide Pod and was like, this looks like a fruit snack. It was like an infant who it was like, all right, this thing must have been on the fucking floor or something. But I don't know. I don't understand the sort of thing of like things, anything that potentially resembles food to a baby, babies being the dumbest form of human in terms of like they don't understand how to preserve their own lives. I mean, they're kind of like trying to kill themselves. There's a video game, oh god, I think it's called Who's Your Daddy or something, and basically the premise is dad's at home alone with the baby. And one player plays as the baby, and one's the dad. And the baby basically just tries to, like, drink chemicals from under the sink and, you know, hurt itself and fall into the pool and, you know, stab itself with a knife or whatever. And it's like, the whole premise of it is kind of like, isn't it weird that babies almost actively try to kill themselves? And it's like, well, let's make a game where that's kind of what they do for real. I don't know if anyone's ever bothered or, like, I shouldn't say bothered. I don't know if anyone's ever had the will to make a record of ways, some of the fucked up ways that babies have gone. Because there's got to be some fucking crazy shit. Like, I had a friend, and when he was a kid, he had a little brother who was probably, like, 2. And he made a TV fall on his own head. Like, a huge fucking TV fell off the dresser right on this kid's head. And you're like, I mean, that kid could have died, right? And that's kind of fucked up, like, crushed by a TV. And then you're like, well, it's a baby. So I guess anything's possible, I think, is the thing when you're a baby. Like, if I, as an adult man, just was like, I just had this sort of irresistible urge to eat a Tide Pod or something, I think everyone would probably just be like, I mean, I guess he was suicidal, right? Like, what... If things are going well in your life, I don't think you eat a Tide Pod as an adult. Now, as a teenager, I'm wondering, you know, I didn't click on the articles because I try to not click on anything anymore. It's just like, are they dying or are they just like hurling and then that's that? I mean, is it like a brain toxin? What's going on that this is such a big deal? Anyway, I just thought it was great because I was like, I feel like we talked about this on this show like 2 years ago. This is why I need an archivist really badly to like make a wiki. But maybe that's for the worst, to be honest. Some of those early episodes, whew, maybe better lost to the sands of time, Prince of Persia. So that happened. Okay, so let's talk about why we're probably going to be in the car a little bit for a while. Now, hopefully this won't be every week, but what I'm doing will be every week, which is, let me take you back to, I think we talked about this already, but I did Sober Santa Rampage, and, you know, it was fine, and I had to do it because I was taking painkillers and antibiotics and stuff. By the way, I looked up antibiotics, and you know they're like, don't drink when you take antibiotics? And I told everyone in my family this, and they all immediately were like, no, you're wrong. So I looked up, you know, what happens if you drink on antibiotics? And there was quite a consensus on the trustworthy internet that the deal was that the sort of common wisdom behind not drinking while you're on antibiotics is bullshit. Now, there are like 3 antibiotics that they prescribe, you know, from time to time, that it's like it would be a profoundly bad idea to drink while you take these. These specifically are bad. But your amoxicillins, your whatevers, is fine. And the reason, supposedly, that everyone's told not to drink on antibiotics goes back in, like, the history of antibiotics. Which is, they were mostly prescribed back in the day because people got, like, STDs, right? And so back in the day, they'd be like, all right, this motherfucker's got to take some antibiotics to clear up, I don't know, syphilis? Does that cure that? I'm still, like, I saw those great slides when I was a kid, you know, of those fucking STD slides. Is this a thing that, I wonder if they can't possibly still do this. Where, when I was a kid, in 8th, 9th grade, you watched a slideshow, and it was, you know, diseased penises and vaginas. And it was like, this is what herpes looks like. This is what genital warts looks like. Now, these were fucking crazy looking. I mean, like, the genital warts one looked like fucking cauliflower field growing on this dude's schwang. And, like, some of the ones, the, like, women's ones, I was like, this thing looks so fucked up that I'm not even sure what I'm looking at. Like, if it's kind of like when you get an artsy thing and you go to hang it up and you're like, well, I hope whoever framed this knows which way is up because that's the only guidance I've got. If those slides were upside down, I never would have known in a million years that that's what happened. So, sorry. I got lost there. I got lost in my own brain thinking about, I guess, reminiscing, oh, the good old days for you millennials. You millennials don't know what it's like to look at a bunch of slides of fucked up looking dicks. I mean, I felt like, now looking back on it, I feel bad for those people. Like, they had their pictures taken, and it's like, this man needed help. I mean, when your penis is more wart than it is penis, like, can't you do something for that dude? I think you could do something for that dude. I think you could help him out. All right, so where was I? I don't even know how I got. Oh, okay. So they would give antibiotics, and they'd be like, this person's taking antibiotics because they have a disease, and the last thing we want is for them to now go out and infect someone else, right? So what they would tell them is no drinking. Because that was the doctor-y way to be like, well, if they're not allowed to drink, if they think that drinking will fuck everything up, they'll stay home. They're not going to go out to a bar. They're not going to get laid. Because, you know, they're taking these antibiotics. They're going to feel good in like 2 or 3 days. And they'll be back out on the scene, but they won't be cured yet. They'll still be contagious. And that is why you're not supposed to drink on antibiotics. Now, also I saw online, and I was like, this is good logic. Because people were like, well, I mean, it probably isn't so much to do with the effects of alcohol interacting with antibiotics. It's more like, hey, if you've got something wrong with you enough that you're taking antibiotics, you probably should be healing and therefore not drinking. Which I totally agree with. Under any circumstances, I agree with, other than like Santa Rampage. I was like, eh, I think I could handle it. I mean, here's the thing. I found with my life, I've gone to a lot of different doctors over the last year, including like eye doctor and periodontist and all this. They always ask how much you drink. And this is a difficult thing for me to categorize because I'm like, average week, probably 1 drink a week. You know, like I'd play volleyball and have a beer. Maybe 2 drinks. But average week, if an average week was over 2 drinks, that would be unusual, right? And also, like, if I didn't have a game or I didn't, you know, didn't really have anything to do, it could easily be none drinks for, like, 3 or 4 weeks in a row. For example, my last drink that I had was, like, a week ago. I got a little sloshed, but you know, will I have another? I don't know when I'll have another drink. Who knows? So anyway, it's like, I think I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to evaluate total health. But I'm a little like, eh, like, who cares, guys? Can you just ask me, like, do you drink a lot? Do you drink every day? Because I'd be like, not even close. But they ask all the time. And so, anyway, I told my family this, and they're all like, well, my friends told me that it's because, you know, antibiotics give you diarrhea, and drinking just makes that worse. Which I was like, well, yeah, but isn't that why you just wouldn't drink in general? Like, isn't that why you just wouldn't drink at all? Like, isn't that why a doctor would say, like, eh, you probably just shouldn't drink? I wonder, too, like, I know there was this common wisdom that, like, you know, a drink every now and then is good for you, like one a day. And my eye doctor is the last one who said that, you know, because he was asking, like, do you drink? And I was like, I mean, I'll have like one or two a week or something. And he's like, okay. He's like, well, that amount's good for you. Like, it's good for your whatever. And I was like, eh, I mean, all right. Sure. I'm sure that when they picture that, they're not picturing someone like, you know, drinking Malort in a parking lot, but that's fine. Probably has the same health effects, right? I have a deep regret because I had a Malort bottle that we finally finished off as a team, and I threw it away. And then as soon as I got home, I was like, ah, I need to get more dish soap. And I was thinking, I should get like a more regular dish soap dispenser. And I was like, ah, Malort bottle would have been great. Look what I've done. I robbed myself of an opportunity like 2 hours before I conceived of what I really wanted. Isn't that always the way? This is like the kind of thing that makes someone completely turned off of like Marie Kondo. Because it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't thrown that away. I did most of the time when I say, what if I want it later? The answer is you won't, but this time it kind of was. So anyway, I had a sober Santa rampage. Because the other thing was I was taking, like, ibuprofen and then Tylenol 3 with codeine or something. And was like, eh, I probably don't need to drink. And also was just like, you know what? You know, like, what are you going to do? I thought about it. And I took my painkillers the night before to go to sleep. And then, like, the next day I tried to get through work. And was like, well, don't take any. See how you're feeling, because if you don't take any all day, then you're probably fine to stay off them. Because here's the other thing that I read up and seemed like good logic. It was like, okay, well, if you want to drink, you have to stop taking your painkillers like the day before. You know, give yourself like 24 to 48 hours. But then you also, I mean, I was doing half-life calculations on stuff. To figure this out, at which point I was like, this makes you seem like a total alcoholic because you're doing math right now that you should never do. And then this person was like, here's the other thing, though. It's not like you could stop taking painkillers, go out and get shit-faced, and then, you know, take it when you get home again. You'd have to wait like another 24 hours, and then you could take them again, you know, once your system was clear or whatever. And I was like, that's a solid point. So that's fine. So, sober rampage, I come home, and I have this email. And it was the email saying that I was in, that I got into the Chuck Palahniuk and Lydia Yuknovich writing workshop. So that's going to be 12 weeks in Portland, Oregon. And it's Mondays, so it's every Monday for 12 weeks. So, what's the plan? Well, as you know, Poon Master Flex lives in Portland environs, and the plan is to head out there every week, go to the workshop, come back, work, and just do that for 3 months. I'm hoping somewhere in there I might be able to, like, take a week of vacation, so I'll, you know, go out on, like, let's say a Sunday morning, go to workshop on Monday, stay all the way through to the following Monday, and then come back the Tuesday after or something like that. I just think that would cut two flights out, which would be pretty nice. So I did my first one last week. And everyone asked me how it was. And, like, I can't decide. I don't know if it's right to, like, tell everybody exactly what we learned and stuff. I mean, when people ask and they don't know, they don't really care about the writing and stuff, so it's not a big deal for me to kind of give a general... But I don't know. I feel like it's their material, and I don't want to just put it out in the world. But it's, like, basically a workshop. You go, they do a mini lecture, like, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. Two people bring a piece they're working on. We read it in the class. The person who writes it reads it out loud. Everyone, you know, has a copy. They make notes. They underline. They star, whatever. Then we go around and we talk about it. And we do that with two people's pieces, and that pretty much eats up the time. So I went last week and did my first, you know, I was like, all right, one down, 11 to go. And then in my head, I was like, wait a minute, that means two down, 22 flights to go. And as we know, Pete is not like the best flyer. I'm not like a nervous flyer. I don't have like a problem with flying. I think I'm just like, I just sort of, it's everything I hate. It's like waiting for stuff. It's like, you know, other people being discourteous. It's a lot of, every time you fly, you're behind someone who has not flown in an airplane since 1994. And they're like, what do you mean I have to take my shoes off? There was a guy, last time when I flew out, they had a dog. Like, I don't know if they're sniffing for drugs or explosives or what. But there's a dog, and it's running up and down one of the aisles. You know, you go through this, like, it's like when you're waiting for a roller coaster. You go back and forth. So you're going through one of those, and they have an extra wide one. And half of it has a carpet laid down, and half of it's the tile, like the rest of the area. And the dog runs up and down the carpet, and the people walk on the tile. And the idea is that way people aren't, like, getting in the way of the dog. The dog doesn't have to weave through people. It can just, like... run up and down. It was, you know, trotting up and down, smelling everybody a couple times, all that shit. It was very efficient. But somebody had to stand there at the place where the dog was, you know, there was the carpet and the tile, and had to continually tell people, please do not step on the tile or on the carpet. Please stay off the carpet. Sir, please stay off the carpet. Please stay off the carpet, ma'am. Sir, I heard this probably five or six times in the minute it took me to get to that row. And so here's the thing that bothers me about it. I'm like, I heard this like five or six times in the time it took me to get there. And I heard it like five or six times as I went through the following row. And was like, this poor motherfucker. And it was, you know, one of the two dog handlers. So I guess they probably alternate. Like one guy handles the dog for a while. Another guy does the dog. And then the other person's like, I guess I'll just fucking yell at people all day. And it wasn't mean about it, but I was just like, how old must it get to be like, how did you not hear when I told those 10 assholes in front of you not to step on the carpet? Don't step on the carpet, please. And when you're in security line, it's not like there's a bunch of shit to do. You're just like going through a line. All you have to do, I have like a minor request. And it's that there are a couple times in the airport when people need to fucking pay attention. One of those times is when you're in the security line. Pay attention. If they're like, you don't need to take your laptops out, which is apparently the case when the dogs are out, then you know, right? Then you know. If you like, I don't know, just fucking pay attention when you're in the line. It's not that long. It's like 15 minutes at a slow-ass airport like Denver. And just pay attention for as long as it takes to get through that security line. That's all I ask. Like, if you want to go down and wander around when you get on the stupid little train that goes all over the place, fine. That doesn't bother me at all. You do whatever you want. If you want to, like, jerk off and just hang out in the bathroom and go the completely wrong direction, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I do not care. But just when you're in the security line, just pay attention. I kind of thought it would be good if, like, on every flight, I sort of limited my complaints to one individual, like, the worst person on the flight, as far as I could tell. And I had two on the way out, and then really none on the way back. I had some stupid tallie behind me, like, slamming into my chair the whole fucking time. But it wasn't that bad. But, on the way out, I sat next to... a guy who was dressed crazily. I mean, okay, this is a weird look to me. When you're dressed in sweats, but you're sagging your pants. So it's like everyone can see this dude's ass in his underwear and shit. And I was kind of like, you know, you're wearing sweatpants. Like, sweatpants that are elastic at the top. So, like, sagging your sweatpants is a choice, right? Unless you're, like, a big fat dude. And you have to kind of, like, say, well, I'm going to wear these under my gut. But that means in the back they're going to be a little riding a little low. But this was not a big fat dude. This is a very slim guy. And so I was like, okay, so that's on purpose. And we were standing at the gate. Poonmaster Flex and I flew out at the same time. It's complicated. Let's not worry about it. But as we're waiting at the gate, she's like, oh, you should sit next to that guy. He looks like the most obnoxious person. And I was like, well, let me remind you that I'm on Frontier, so I don't get to pick where I sit. I just sit where I sit, and whoever's there is there. And she's like, oh, yeah. Because, you know, she loves Southwest. I like Southwest, too, but Frontier has some cheap-ass flights to Portland, Oregon. So I get on the plane. Lo and behold, I'm sitting next to this motherfucker anyway. So whether or not I wanted to, it's like, huh. And I was like, well, that's funny. I'm going to tell Poonmaster Flex about that. He's on his phone, FaceTiming with someone the entire time until we're, like, almost taking off. And a stewardess comes up and is like, are you on your phone? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, you need to get off right now. And he's like, all right, I'm going to call you when we land. I'll call you when we land, you know. And it's like, he's just talking to some fucking goofball friend, just saying, like, I'll call you when I land. All right, later. And so, like, then he proceeds to start listening to music on his phone. And by listening to music, for me, listening to music is a mostly passive process. Unless I'm, like, alone in the car singing a song that makes me sad and I'm bawling and singing. But that's the only way in which I really engage in music through my headphones. This guy is doing the move, and I don't know what you call this. It's not like DJing, but it's like, you know how... All right, if I'm filming a rapper in the studio, they're, like, doing this shit with their hands. It's like a karate chop, but with only their pointer and middle finger. It's like they're sort of making, like, almost a gun shape with their hand, a sort of loose, sloppy gun shape, and just, like, throwing their hands forward over and over. I don't know what you call that, and there's nothing that's like it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. And I wonder, like, do all rappers do that all the time? Is that, like, something they do because they're like, well, you know, all right, Eminem, Anderson Cooper's here to film you in the studio. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll make sure and move my hands around a lot because, I mean, this isn't really a visual medium. It's mostly just, it's music. So they're like, yeah, just, you know, bob your head, move your arms around. Completely forget about microphone discipline because whatever. I mean, we're not really going to use this tape anyway, so who fucking cares? We'll just play your song over you or whatever, and we're not even going to hear you actually talking into the microphone. We're just going to hear another version of a song and Anderson Cooper being like, Eminem is one of the most controversial wordsmiths of our time. So anyway, this dude is like doing that on the plane. He's in the fucking middle seat, doing it with both hands at some points, and I was just like, oh, fuck this guy. Like, fuck him. And there was a lady on the aisle who, they had like a little tiny exchange at one point, but I don't know what it was, but I was pretty sure she was like equally annoyed, and I wanted to like lean over and be like, this guy, right? But you can't because he's right there. Also, he was telling his boy that he's sick, and so it's all right though because he's getting his Sprite on. He's, like, drinking this big Sprite on the plane because he's sick. And I was like, yeah, that'll help. That'll make you feel a lot better. Oh, yeah, when you're feeling sick, oh, eat a bowl of sugar and no water and then just be on an airplane. Breathing in Pete's face. That's the way to get cured. So he was the worst. Although, close second... And only second and not first because I wasn't sitting directly next to this person, but I guess a couple rows up, probably an hour and a half into a 3-hour flight, a flight attendant has to take someone's phone away because they were talking on the phone. Which is, like, crazy, right? And, I mean, an adult. Like, an adult human, and they were like, are you talking on the phone? And she took her phone away like she's a teacher in a classroom and is like, no, you can't just talk on your phone. And Poonmaster Flex was like, I wonder if that's like, you know, I wonder what that does and if that's really a problem. And I was like, I kind of doubt it. I mean, I kind of doubt that people talking on their phones is actually an issue. But I hope to God that they continue to not allow it. Like, if people wanted to text, that would be fine. As long as their phones are fucking silent. Because I don't need ding, 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 ding. I mean, tweet, 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 tweet. Also, phone manufacturers, text notifications should not be allowed to be more than a single note, by the way. Because when you're, like, sitting at your desk and you just hear these fucking phones going off in everyone's offices and it's like, tweet, 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 tweet. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That for one text. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're like, what the fuck? Da-da-da-da-da-da. That is someone going, sup. And you're like, hey, that music was longer than the thing they said. That shouldn't be happening. That's not okay. I just hope that they continue to not allow cell phones. I mean, I would be fine if they were like, look, it's not going to fuck up the plane for people to have their phones on. But we're not allowing it. Like, we won't allow it. And if you do it, we're going to take your fucking phone away. And then you have to wait till everyone else leaves the plane and come get your phone back and deal with us giving you, like, a lecture about courtesy. Because the thing is, like, I mean, do you really need to talk on the phone when you're flying somewhere? Can you not text if you had to do something? And also, it's like you're flying there. This is like sometimes, you know, I'm going to something. I was going to volleyball one time, and I don't know, we were going to meet at like 15 till, and it's probably like 12 till, and I get a text that's like, where are you? And I was like, what do you want me to do? Text like, I'm 2 minutes away right now? So I'm like, I'm fucking driving. I'm not going to text you. It's not going to get me there any faster to tell you that I'm going to be there in 2 minutes. Like, that is not going to speed up this process. If somebody's late and you want to ask where they are, you don't even ask until they're like, I don't know, 15 minutes late. Until you're like, I'm concerned that whatever we were going to do is not going to be possible because this person is so fucking late. That's when you do it. Because really, I think that when you're texting, like, you there yet? You here yet? Or whatever. And it's like, I've been here for 2 minutes. Like, are you just being a dick? Are you just making a point about, like, late again, I see. Because I will tell you, as someone who's late often, obviously it pisses me off. But I will also tell you, it absolutely does not speed things up. Because if you text me, like, when I'm supposed to be there and say, where are you? It's like, well, I'm not there. Where do you think I am? I've never in my life been, like, awoken by a text that says, where are you? And then it's like, oh my God. So I'm so glad you texted. I'm on my way now. Because even if that happened, wouldn't we already be fucked? I mean, wouldn't it be way too late at that point? I think it would. Kind of think it would. Anyway, it's just like, if you're on the airplane going somewhere, you text before you leave, you're like, I'm on my way. And then you text when you land, and you're like, I'm here. And it's like, okay, let's think of a dire situation. You're going somewhere because, like, you know, grandma's dying, right? You're like, I took the red eye. I'm on my way. Now, is it possible that she'll pass in between you getting on the plane and arriving where you're going? 100%. However, I think this is the thing that everyone says that I've heard nobody actually experience. You know, this is why people are like, I leave my phone on in the movies. Because what if I get a text that's like, I need to go to the hospital for somebody? I'm like, how many people do you know who have left the movies to go to the hospital? Or have left the movies, returned home, and then been like, oh my God, we need to go to the hospital. Like, how many motherfuckers do you know where that happened? It's crazy. And also, it's like, listen, if you have your text on, if you have your phone on silent, and you're in the movie, and you're getting like, someone calls you, and it's vibrating, and then they call you again, and it's vibrating, and they call you again, then you should probably check, right? This is probably something going on. If somebody calls you and then just lets it go to voicemail, you're probably fine. I assume that when grandma's dying, my mom's not just like, eh, he'll get it when he gets it. Dust your hands and walk away. I just think it's like an excuse. And it's like a thing that we say, like, what about in emergencies? And it's like, I don't know, it seems like grandmas were dying just fine before we did it this way. Seems like they made it to the other side just fine on their own. So those are my two people. Those are my two Peter's people. The worst shitheads on the plane. I didn't have any on the way back though, which was good. I gotta say that was a plus. I did figure out how to put movies on, so Cassie gave me her Kindle Fire so I could read comic books on it. And I also figured out how to put movies on it, so I might watch some movies. Now, the movies I have on there right now are not a banner selection. As you may know, I'm digitizing all of my discs, you know, in preparation for moving. And it's an extremely slow process because I'm using a crap top I bought like 12 years ago to do this. So I'm catching up on some stuff that I have and never saw. So for example, I think I've got 4 loaded right now, including Monster Squad, Creepshow, I can't remember, I don't even know what the other two are, but that gives you a pretty good idea. I think they're all horror movies, which I was like, well, that should be interesting on an airplane. And I wondered, like, if you're watching, okay, obviously if you're watching porno on an airplane, I would think they would stop you, although they still fucking sell, like, Hustler at the airport, or Penthouse, or whatever. Definitely Playboy, maybe Penthouse, maybe Hustler. There's, like, 3 or 4 magazines up there in the, you know, newsstand with the black thing over the cover. And, they still sell them there, which is so weird, right? Because, I mean, what are you going to do, flip through a porno on an airplane? There's some dude, like, you're sharing an armrest that is thinner than either of your individual arms by a factor of 10. And you're like, I'm just going to be casually looking at pornography. And I don't know if that's a thing, like, people just sort of casually looking at pornography. Maybe. Maybe there are people out there who are just like, I don't know, I just relax with a nice porno. Maybe that's the origin of it, though. I wonder if the origin of this is like, I feel like back in the day, there were a lot more nervous flyers, right? Because probably, I think when, you know, when my parents were growing up, it was like, not, if you went on an airplane ride, that was a rarity, right? Like, that was not common. And now I'm guessing if you go to, like, an average elementary school, like, half the kids have been on a fucking airplane more than once. So maybe people were, like, nervous flyers, and they're just like, listen, gents, just go crank one out in the bathroom. You'll be less nervous. Maybe you'll fall asleep on the plane. Everything's going to be great. And, you know, the airport bathroom is, like, such a fucking free-for-all anyway. I would protest against someone jerking off in a bathroom, but I feel like transit bathrooms don't count. A, because of my ferry boat situation, and B, because, like, when you go to the bathroom in the airport, there's a dude taking a shower, there's a dude brushing his teeth, there's a guy who's, like, half undressed, and you're like, where is this guy's clothes? I mean, the diaper change station might as well just be, I don't know why they don't make, like, a little bathroom stall that doesn't have a shitter in it. Because it's like, oh, it might be nice for someone to change clothes where there's not, like, urine and feces all over the place. I mean, why not? Why not have like a booth that's basically the same thing and people can just change in there? So somebody, I guess somebody sequestering themselves in a bathroom stall and jerking off doesn't really, doesn't set off any alarm bells in old Pete's head. That's for goddamn sure. I'm like, yeah, that's not, it doesn't seem like aberrant behavior when considering the circumstances here. Oh, I did want to say, when I was on painkillers, codeine, I solved a mystery. I got fucked up on painkillers and unlocked a big mystery of the world. Not at all what happened, but here's what did happen. I took some of the biggest, densest shits that I've taken maybe in my life. I can remember a couple others. I mean, I had a couple famously large, famous in my own head. I like that it's like famously large. I mean, I just remember one time when I was a kid, I ate a bunch of cheese or something and just had this like massive shit that I kind of had to reach in and assist to get it out. And that happened a couple times. And so when I was on these painkillers, I took these massive, dense shits. The kind that you take and you're just like, I can't believe that that was there. And also, fingers crossed that this goes down. Because if this doesn't go down, I'm breaking out the old coat hanger. Good enough for a unborn baby, it's good enough for a turd. I've always said that. So I took some of these giant shits, and what I discovered is that the opioid epidemic is fucking real, my friends. Because these shits were of the sort of quality of some of the more disturbing and frightening shits that I've, you know, dealt with in the library. And I was like, this makes sense now. I think what's going on here is, like, people are on painkillers, and then, you know, when you're real constipated, you kind of feel like you have to take a shit all the time, but you sort of don't. It's like, it's a horrible feeling. If you've never been, I mean, I think everyone has been, but if you've never been constipated, trust me, whatever. And by the way, shut up. Like, I know how to not be constipated. Believe me, I know. And like, I did the things and it worked to an extent, but not really. So anyway, I'm guessing what goes on is some people are on fucking painkillers. They come to the library, they're like, man, I mean, I could take a shit right now. And when you're like that and you're like, I could take a shit, you're like, I'm taking a shit. Like, you, more than ever, you've got a window of opportunity. And when that window opens, you fill it with brown. You're just crapping right out that porthole. For the brief moments that it's open, you're like, this is my chance. If you had one shot, one opportunity to fill a bowl with feces, would you take it? Or would you just let it slip and then have a stomachache the rest of the day? So that's my guess. I think that shit's real. Now, I mean, I guess I couldn't say for sure that it's like, oh, it's an epidemic, because it's like, I mean, maybe someone just had surgery or some shit. They're on painkillers and they just took a dump at the library. But it's happened with an alarming frequency and makes me suspicious. Let's put it that way. I have my suspicions, and my suspicions are that people are taking shitshmins. Okay, that was bad, but here we are. Rock you like a hurricane. So that was a discovery. I'm recovered from my surgery, other than I have threads. What do you call that? Stitches. In my mouth. So I had stitches. Some of them dissolved and some of them didn't. When I was drinking last weekend, I felt this thing in my mouth and took it out. And I was like, oh, that's a suture. Just this little black thing. And I was like, hey, all right, I guess those dissolved. And then some of them, though, I have to go on like Thursday and get them taken out. So I'm going to go do that. But they had some tails, you know, like they get loose, which is good. I think that's supposed to happen. And I cut one of the tails because it was getting real long and just pissing me off. And now I have another one that's really hard to get to. I tried to cut it. And I think, unfortunately, I cut a tiny amount off of it, which doesn't help and makes it harder to cut. But it, like, sticks to the roof of my mouth and just kind of gags me all day. It's fucked up, man. This world of medicine is real fucked up. Because you know what happens? Like, all right, so I go in, I get this done. Then I have to make an appointment for, like, I don't know, 2 weeks later to go in, and they just, like, check up on you, right? They're like, we just want to make sure that, you know, you don't have an infection. So I drive an hour to go into this office where I sit in the chair. This nurse tells me to open my mouth. She touches one side, she touches the other, and she's like, okay, looks good, and that's it. That was the entire appointment. And she's like, we just have to make sure. She's like, I'm just going to, like, palpate this and make sure no pus or anything comes out. She didn't say that pus, but I was like, I know what this is. I know what you're doing. And she does that, and I was like, that's fine. But I was sort of like, man, can't I just, like, not drive an hour to come here unless you're going to do something? I mean, let's do something. Can you just do something? Can you, like, measure my fucking... This is another thing. Like, when I go to the dentist or, like, the eye doctor, both checked my blood pressure. Which I was like, what the fuck difference does it make what my blood pressure is? Like, you're just... Sometimes I think these doctors and dentists, you know, these peripheral doctors, like eye doctors and whatever, they just take it a little too seriously. They're like, I am a doctor, so let's whatever. And then they always tell you, every doctor tells you the number. They're like, da 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 da, over 120 over 80 or something. And I'm like, all right, what is that good? Is that bad? Is that just fucking, what is that? What does that mean? That means nothing to me. Does it mean something to you? So I had to go that hour, right? And then she's like, okay, well, the doctor's on maternity leave, so I can't go get these stitches out until she's like, let's make you an appointment for 2 weeks. You'll get the stitches out. So it'll have been like 3 weeks at that point. Four? I don't know. So it'll have been like a month. And all these loose ends, all this shit. And I'm kind of like, listen, can't I just go to my dentist and have him do it? I mean, how hard is it to pull a thread out? I can't do it because I can't see shit in there. But, like, isn't there somewhere closer I can go for this particular? Can I just go to my doctor and pretend like, I fell in a sewing machine face first and this happened? I mean, just save me like 2 hours of driving. And then, you know, I had another appointment to go get the other side done in like 2 weeks. I had to push it back because of this workshop. But I was like, so, I don't know, like, a week and a half after I'm going to go get these stitches out, I'm supposed to have another appointment with you anyway. Can they just take them out then? And she was like, well, you know, we like to do it at this interval. And I was like, all right. I mean, that doesn't really answer my question. I wasn't really asking about your personal preferences. You know, I hate when people do that, when you ask them, like, look at me as a person and let me ask you a question about, like, is there a possible better way we could do this? Because, you know, this is what's not... I'm not real excited to come in and drive another hour. And how long is it going to take these stitches out? Like, 2 minutes? I mean, it's not going to take any time, right? I don't know. I was, like, secretly hoping when she did the first one. Like, when I secretly hope things, I was like... And it's a mistake to secretly hope things with doctors, let me tell you, because it never happens. It's never like, oh, you know what? This guy seems nice. I'm going to do him a solid. Because I was secretly hoping that she'd be in there and she was like, oh, you're such a good patient and whatever, that she'd be like, you know what? This is working pretty well. We've got you numbed up. Let's just bang out both sides at once and you won't have to come back here again. And I'd be like, right on. And then I'd be done now. But, you know, of course that didn't happen. I don't know why. I get in that mode with doctors and stuff where I'm like, maybe they'll just fucking do the whole thing right now. Maybe they'll just, like, cut me some slack. They do not cut you slack, ever. They're never like, oh, okay. I saw this article. It was about some lady who thought she had like Crohn's disease or something. They thought she had some kind of thing like that. And then she shit out, like, I don't know, a plastic bag or something like that, like a Cheetos bag or a ketchup packet, something like that. And then she was fine. And I was like, that's what I want to be. I want to be the person who shits out like a ketchup packet. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I feel amazing now. Like, all this time. Now, my question was definitely, how did she swallow a ketchup packet? I mean, how did you do that and not know? Or did you do that and know, but you didn't want to say anything? That's kind of what I think happened. Like, if you look at these, this is another thing that I've noticed with doctors. They're very suspicious. Like, they ask you the same thing more than once, you know? They'll ask you a lot of times, like, things like, are you allergic to any medicines? And you say no. And they'll say, like, so no drugs, no anything, you're not, no allergies to latex. No, and I'm like, yeah, no, nothing. Like, I'm fine. Because really, I'm fine. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. They always have you fill out, it's like every doctor too, it's like, can't you just have me fill one of these out and you guys can share it? Can I just put it in an email and then like send it to you? And you know, they're always like, do you have a history of cancer in your family? And I was like, I mean, my grandpa died of cancer, both of them, but they were both like, you know, fucking alive in the 40s and the 50s. Like, they're smoking like a goddamn chimney, like it was a contest. Oh, speaking of chimney, this is the last thing. I saw a van that was for a chimney sweep service in town. And, it, you know, it had like a broomy thing and a fucking top hat on it and everything. Now, I didn't see these tools. I assume they're inside somewhere. I also assume they probably have some kind of Roto-Rooter snake type tool now. But I was just like, that's fucked up. Like, A, it's fucked up and crazy that a chimney sweep is still a thing. B, it was never really clear to me why you needed to sweep the chimney out. I mean, is it because, like, a bird's nest gets in there and shit? That's all I could think of. I have to make a decision about east or west garage or economy parking or whatever. And I'm like, I should go to the same one all the time because that'll help me. And I'm like, how will I decide? And I think I'm going to go west because of my enjoyed song, The Last Pale Light in the West. So this is a good memory for me. When I post this, I'll be like, all right, episode 3, whatever, is where I said where my car is. So I guess if I'm wandering the streets, I'll be like, all right, pop this in, replay, whatever. So I also thought, you know what would be fucked up? Like, all right, you see a picture of a chimney sweep from like old-timey shit, and it's like this guy in a suit, and he has a top hat on. I was like, how fucking pissed would this guy be if he saw how, like, executives dress today? They're wearing, like, an Under Armour polo and khaki pants, and they look like shit. And this guy's like, I go in people's chimney and sweep out the coal, the fucking soot. I get covered in soot. That's my job. I will always be covered in soot, no matter what happens. And yet, I look like less of a shitbag than this shitbag. Like, what the fuck? Life is not fair, man. Life is categorically unfair. I felt bad for him. See, now I think I should go east, because my plane is on the east, even though it does not matter at all. Like, DIA has this dumb thing. I'm going to go west, because I think there's less people flying out of there. DIA is this dumb thing where it's like terminal west and east, and it's like, ooh, it's real important to make sure that you go to the right one. But then you get there and it's like you just get there and it's, you know, you walk across, like, it's like walking the width of a mall, and then you're in the other terminal, west or east. Like, it does not matter. And the width of a mall, I mean, like, you go out of Spencer Gifts, walk across the way to the Gap, and you're in the other terminal. It's insane. Anyway, I just thought that was fucked up. I was like, it's weird that a chimney sweep is still a thing. It's weird that it's enough of a service where You know, this guy's got like a nice looking van with graphics and shit on it. I wonder if chimney sweeps too ever have come across, like, you know, the bodies. Like a Gremlins kind of situation. The dead body in the chimney or something. Or like, every once in a while you'll hear that sort of urban legend-y story about somebody trying to break into a house and they get stuck in the chimney or something. And you're like, I wonder if they call the chimney sweep to address that. If they're like, well, let's call in the expert. And if that's like, is that what you're waiting for, is a chimney sweep? You're like, all right, this is, you know what? Everyone's got their 15 minutes and this is mine. You doff your little top hat with the top that's like cut open, like it looks like an old can opener cut open. I love how an old, like, old hobos would wear that. You know, it's like a fucking top hat with the top can opener to open. And it was like, you know, I think you'd look better without the hat. I think you'd just look better with no hat than with that hat. I think that hat is a mistake. Because it's like wearing a badge of, like, I am not put together right now. And I'm going to put a siren on top of my head that alerts you to the fact that I am not... not really with it. Not doing great life-wise. It's so funny when you go to the airport too, like the signs are so confusing and it's like departures, arrivals, but then parking, and you're like, well, shouldn't parking and, oh my god, someone is like reversing up the road where it's like 65 miles an hour. This is one of the funny parts about going here, I gotta say, is like, I mean, you gotta have a sense of humor about it, but it is fucking Thunderdome, man. Like, driving wise, Fury Road out the ass, because everyone's like, well, I can't get in here, I'm gonna reverse. Things you would never do where you live, you would do at the airport. N through Z. I had this, I have this theory of how I remember, like, where I'm parked, which is, I try and associate it with something awful. So, you know, I try and think of whatever, you know, row I'm parked in, I kind of try and look at something that's, like, really horrific that I can associate it. So, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, what, I can't even, I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at these signs. Like, if I was in Z, I'm trying to think what the worst Z thing is, and I can't really think of anything. There is parallel parking in this lot. That's insane. Who would do that? All right. I'm parked while I'm parking. Thanks for listening. I'll keep you up to date on my adventures. I mean, the good news is, I guess I'll have a lot of time to record, potentially. So maybe you'll get a lot of shows. Maybe you won't. Maybe I'll just be like, fuck you guys. I don't love you anymore. All right. See you next time.